You're listening to KUOW in Seattle. I'm Bill Radke. You've seen the tents, the garbage, the visible parts of Seattle's homelessness crisis. That's a fraction of the problem. Thousands more people are living in and out of shelters, their cars, temporary housing, a friend's couch. Even if you have a job, you're in a city where a one-bedroom apartment rents for almost $2,000 a month. Homelessness might be close behind. What to do about it? Well, the city wants to double what it spends on homeless services by raising property taxes, a $275 million levy that Seattle voters will probably decide on this summer. This is a big decision, and we're going to help you through it over the next 20 minutes or so with my next two guests. First of all, Harvey Lever says you should vote no on this levy. Harley, you've said the city is too wasteful with the money that it's spending now. What could the city do better?
Primarily, what the city needs to do is have robust data capture. If we look at Boston, Houston, Salt Lake City, which have been successful in reducing homelessness, one of the first things that they do is capture a robust amount of data. They want to understand who their homeless neighbors are. They want to understand the strategies that are being used. They want to understand the results of those strategies. And then that information helps inform investments. And we know who the providers are that are doing a really good job. And we know who the providers are that are not doing a really good job. Right now, Seattle has 128 providers running 354 distinct programs. This is a very difficult bureaucracy to manage. And because of this, we have lack of uniform data capture. We're not measuring the outcomes of our strategies, and it leaves us with a tremendous bill. In comparison, Boston has they invest $20 million a year, and they have only 139 unsheltered people living outside. They use data capture and measuring the metrics constantly to inform how best to invest this strategy. Seattle is going to spend over $100 million this year. We have $60 million in homeless services alone. We're going to spend $29 million of the housing levy that we approved last summer. The city council took out a $29 million bond, and we have to pay $27 million in interest on that. So the Seattle voters have done a great job. They've made the investments. We just need to start using our money and our strategies more intelligently.
Okay, a lot of bureaucracy, not enough data. Let's get a response to that. Here in support of Seattle's homelessness tax on property owners, from the Downtown Emergency Service Center, Daniel Malone. Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you, Bill.
Didn't the mayor essentially agree with Harley when Ed Murray said the city is not measuring outcomes enough and was unintentionally with good intentions, misspending some of its money?
The mayor did announce a plan to reform the system of services to homeless people. That plan is being enacted by the city in various ways. I think what we need to turn our attention to, however, is when this problem ballooned into the current state that it's in. And that has tracked very closely with the dramatic rise in rents that you already mentioned here, Bill. Effectively, rents have gone up in this town double in something like a 5 or 6 year period. That has followed closely a booming economy and significant population growth. In the early part of the recession, our overall homeless number in Seattle was flat for a period of years. We still had population growth happening there. But we were doing a reasonable job in keeping ahead of the growth of homelessness to go along with population growth overall. That has changed since 2013 when the rents really started to skyrocket here. So more pressure on the rental market prices has resulted in more people falling into homelessness, and fewer of those people have been able to exit homelessness as they would have been able to do, 5+ years ago when they experienced a housing crisis. That's how sort of equilibrium used to exist in this system, is people were largely falling in and getting out on their own after relatively short periods of time. That's all changed in the current rental market here, and that's the thing that we have to focus on the most.
So you're saying more efficiency is not going to cover the homelessness crisis?
is not going to cover it. Now, there's room for more efficiency. I have remarked publicly that we largely have, rather than a clear, cohesive system, we largely have a collection of programs. I assume, you know, that's largely in keeping with Harley's view on this, but we are, that's changing. The countywide system called All Home has worked out a new version of coordination for these programs to assign people to the right intervention that works for them. We just don't have enough for everybody here. And this measure is about creating more housing opportunities for people to get them off the streets. That's exactly what we need to be doing.
This levy would pay for rent subsidies, expanding local shelters, mental health and substance abuse treatment. Harley Lever, what's wrong with that? Are you saying that is it just a matter of inefficiency, or is there something about the city's whole approach to this homelessness problem that you don't like?
Well, there are multiple issues. First, if you go to page 44 in Focus Strategies, the Focus Strategies report, it says clearly that
this is from a consultant that the city hired?
Exactly right. It says clearly we actually have enough housing right now in our stock to house all the 3,000 unsheltered homeless neighbors and family members. The issue becomes is we don't use our housing efficiently. And the main driver of this is our use of rapid rehousing.
You'll need to explain. There's so many terms, sure, buzzwords around the homelessness services. What do you mean by rapid rehousing is where the city wants to go, to move toward?
Exactly. And rapid rehousing is what other cities have used, Boston, Houston, Salt Lake City. What it does is it helps supplement rent. It subsidizes rent for people that are either about to face homelessness or they've been in transitional housing. We have an opportunity to get them into housing.
The private market? Vouchers in the private market.
Exactly right. The problem is the Seattle landlords have been maligned by the city council, by the mayor. We have a very anti-landlord, anti-Airbnb relationship. And unfortunately, landlord engagement is one of the five pillars of the Housing First strategy. We need to leverage the private market. And unfortunately, we've created such an environment that most of the landlords are either saying, I don't want to work with the city, or they're selling their units and moving elsewhere.
Daniel, what do you say to Harley's claim that there is, and he's quoting this consultant, that there is currently enough housing stock to house people, we're just not letting the free market do its thing with voucher help?
Well, we don't have enough vouchers to get people into that housing. That's just a clear reality of the situation. The city's consultant that they hired was Barbara Poppy. She made her report based on some of the information that Harley is reading. She said recently that they were working on 2014 data when they were coming up with their recommendations to the city. And she has also talked about this current spending proposal for the levy we're promoting as being in line with her recommendations. This proposal is all about creating resources to get people into housing. A lot of that's going to be in the private market, and landlords need to be recruited to the effort to do that. Some of that housing, however, needs to be in the nonprofit market or in some other way to allow it to be affordable to people long term. Rapid rehousing is a concept that is about short-term rental assistance that is certainly appropriate to a segment of the homeless population. It assumes, however, that people are going to be able to pick up the full cost of the rent on their own. I operate an organization that is actually largely responsible for the Housing First movement in the United States coming about, thanks to some of the evidence that has been produced from the programs we've operated.
Housing First mean relatively low barrier, right? You don't have to
exactly
get sober and have a job and get jump through a bunch of hoops to get into under a roof.
Yeah, exactly. And then things improve from there, instead of the old way of thinking, which was the other way around, that people need to be fixed before they're eligible to be housed. So anyway, I guess the point I'm trying to make is that we're a pioneer in the Housing First movement, and we know what it's like to get people housed who people thought weren't possible to be housed. So it's not for lack of interest or willingness to try to move people through to housing. I've got shelters filled with people that you could stick your head in the door and anybody could and recognize, oh my goodness, these are disabled folks. These are people who are living on fixed incomes. Rapid rehousing is not going to be the trick for those people, because when they have a disability income of $800 a month, they can't afford the rent of $1,900 a month. They're going to have long-term subsidized housing to be able to make it. We don't have enough of that to be able to get them out and into.
Daniel, we've been referring to this consultant, this Ohio-based consultant, Barbara Poppe. One place she departs from the city, criticizes the city, is for what she calls its tolerance of homeless encampments. There are children in these places, and the city lets it happen. If this property tax levy that we're talking about passed, are you saying that would provide so many more housing opportunities that the city would be able to be then zero tolerance on homeless encampments?
I think we need to be clear when we're talking about homeless encampments. There are really two kinds. There are the organized tent encampments that are authorized, essentially.
Right.
And Barbara Poppe has clearly objected to the city spending resources on authorizing and placing these kinds of encampments in different places.
Right.
The city's argument is that, look, just out of basic safety and compassion, we have to do something immediately. We don't want people living in places like this, but we need to do something that's better than the alternative. The other kinds of tent encampment or encampments generally are these organic things that pop up everywhere. I suspect that the things most people in Seattle are familiar seeing are these unorganized, unauthorized encampments that are often accompanied by, you know, large quantities of garbage. And
are those going away if the city spends enough money, if voters approve enough tax money?
Yeah, exactly. When we house people, we're going to not have people having to live in squalor like that. People don't want to live in situations like that. People want to live inside.
Harley, do you accept that? With more money, there's more places for these people to go, and you don't have the authorized or unauthorized encampments.
I don't accept it for two reasons. Primarily is we have a broken system, and we're about to add, they want to add $275 million to a broken system. They've had the opportunity.
But how do you know they're not fixing the system? I mean, we've been taught this has been a declared crisis for more than a year.
Well, you can look at their data. I mean, you're absolutely right.
And they're rebidding these contracts, as you know.
Sure, but they have not changing their metrics. If you go to All Home KC today and you look at the minimum performance standards of all their housing, only 11 out of the 352 listed are meeting their minimum metrics. The other issue we aren't talking about, and I think it's really important, is
that's not true.
We have 80. I have the printout.
You said meeting the minimum metrics, only 11 out of 300 programs meeting it. That's just simply not.
You can go to our Safe Seattle Facebook page. We've posted it this morning. We'll look at that.
We'll send folks to your websites. Sure. That's an easier place for them to parse through these kinds of
information
and disagreements.
But the other most important point is, you know, we have 80,000 seniors over 65 years old. They are being taxed out of their houses. I live with two elderly people in my building, and they're begging me not to raise HOA dues. They are at their limits. Now we have ST3, which is passing. This may stop their mobility as far as getting around town. We have a Trump administration that may just gut a lot of the elderly support. So we have to find balance in here. And so,
what's your idea? What's your better solution than a property tax increase?
Yes. So my better solution is, let's fix the homeless services. Let's follow all the guidelines that Poppe has laid out, that Focus Strategies has laid out, but also let's emulate what Boston, Houston, and Salt Lake City are doing. We keep on going to San Francisco and Portland and Vancouver, all of whom have had failed homeless strategies. We need to start adopting the strategies that have proven to work. Rapid rehousing is a key strategy, but we're destroying a very important relationship with the landlords and the Airbnb that we could leverage to get some of the people that don't require these services out of housing, and then concentrate those services on housing. So
Harley Lever is with the group Safe Seattle, opposing the $275 million property tax levy for homelessness services. Daniel Malone supports the levy. He's with the Downtown Emergency Services Center. And, you know, there's this idea that if Seattle is too generous to homeless people, this free-attle idea. Daniel, do you think helping homeless people attracts more people who want to or are willing to be homelessness so that homelessness never ends here and homelessness spending never ends. Do you buy that free Adel idea?
No, I don't.
Why not? Clearly,
there are anecdotes that people use to support it, but when there is actual research done to examine where people were when they became homeless and what people's situations are, it does not support that as a concept, essentially the concept that people are moving here in order to be homeless. People are moving here for opportunity, for sure. Harley and I introduced one another out in the lobby and both realized neither one of us was born and raised here. We both came here for the opportunities that this place presents to lots of people. A majority of the people who live in this area came from somewhere else. People at the bottom of the economic ladder have been squeezed out from housing opportunity in this hot economy and rising rents, and that has ballooned our homelessness numbers in this community. And so we have a responsibility to try to make life better for our fellow citizens who are out there, and this is a compassionate way to go about doing that.
So what about this? So this idea, this notion of people who are already homeless coming here because their friend said, hey, Seattle will help you out, or Seattle will let you camp, or Seattle will get you into a shelter.
Well, it doesn't happen, or
not significantly?
I don't think it's significant at all. I'm sure you could find somebody to tell you that's what has happened, that they were already homeless when they moved here expecting some kind of opportunity. One would think, however, that once they got here and realized, oh, this means I have to live in squalor in a tent because the shelters are full and there's no chance I'm going to get housing anytime soon, that they would do what they did when coming here and go somewhere else where the opportunities apparently are better for them. So, you know, I don't buy it that it's a real phenomenon that is truly contributing to the depth of the crisis here. And even if it were, I suppose, well, then we have to ask ourselves, you know, so what? In practical terms, what does that mean for us? What are we going to do? Start having some kind of citizenship test to determine who it is we're going to help or not. I think the focus we have to have is making sure that the prosperity that we have in our community extends up and down the economic ladder and doesn't get stuck at some point.
You know, I'll tell you, this homelessness issue has some Seattle progressives really frustrated. Well-meaning liberals have told me in loud voices, I'm compassionate. I have voted to raise my taxes over and over, and it's like if I complain about tents or garbage or crime, I'm a bad guy. Harley, are you a frustrated, misunderstood liberal in this town?
Yeah, I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter. I've fathered the daughter of two lesbian friends of mine. I'm an environmentalist. And the second you try to have a conversation about this, you're labeled as NIMBY. You're labeled as not compassionate. I am absolutely compassionate, but in the same breath, I'm also a data-driven, evidence-based guy. You know, we live in a city that has created enormous organizations built on leveraging data, understanding data, building you know, really good infrastructure, and here we are. And the real frustration is this doesn't have to happen because Boston solved this issue, not solved it, but they reduced it greatly. Houston has done this. We're just taking the wrong approach over and over, and okay. So this is frustrating for all of us.
Daniel, what do you say to a Seattle progressive who feels, you could say frustrated, you could say guilty, that they're being accused of being heartless for saying, what about long-time, law-abiding, overtaxed property owners?
Well, I'm not going to accept that I'm the person who's accusing people of these kinds of things. We've been talking for more than a minute, and I haven't accused Harley
That's right.
or anyone else of any
Yeah,
of,
not
any of those
saying
kinds
that you're
things.
You're making that.
I endorse
It's a the, feeling I've it's people
I
have reported to me.
I endorse the feeling that people are frustrated.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we all be frustrated and, dare I say, ashamed that this is going on in our community, that we allow ourselves in this time of prosperity to have that kind of destitution among us all? It's just our understanding of the nature of the problem seems to be where we diverge here. And, you know, we can get into these issues around other cities that are supposedly doing a better job. There are plenty of statistics you can look at, including things like the portion of housing units in a community, the portion of need met for people with extreme low incomes in a community. Seattle is near the bottom of that list. Cities like Boston and the Northeast in general are much higher on that list. So are cities in low-cost areas. It's not because those cities in low-cost areas are, you know, doing more with their tax dollars on those things, but it's just naturally cheaper in those places. And Houston has a 7% vacancy rate compared to our 2.7%.
Harley, this is where we pause it, because this is our 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I want to send listeners to a place where they can get more information, look at different claims and studies and numbers and figure out what to think. What's a website I should send people to, Harley Lieber?
If you should go to Facebook /SafeSeattle.org .org, we have a conversation there. We have all the information laid out. And I would just say real quick, Boston has the same affordability issues as Seattle.
Daniel Malone, Downtown Emergency Services Center, where should we send listeners who want to know more?
All Home KC is something Harley mentioned. AllHomeKC.org is the convening body trying to address homelessness in a coherent fashion in the community, and they've got a lot of data on their website.
This $275 million property tax levy for homelessness services, it would go for rent subsidies, expanded shelters, mental health, substance abuse treatment, and it's probably going to be on, if you're in Seattle, on your summer ballot. We'll talk more. To both of you. I want to thank you both for helping us think through this big decision. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, thank you.
It's The Record, KUOW 94.9 Seattle. Back in a moment.